Hey, what is it,
folks? Radio.
Another fantastic week. This is the Cam and Clee Show. Clee will be joining us here in a second. But I just wanted to reach out to you guys and once again say thanks for tuning in to another fantastic show. Said if loving the Dolphins is wrong, then I'd be a fool. I'm a fool, man, because I love these guys to death. The Dolphins fans for life. Unfortunately, we're 0-2 right now. We had another tough loss against the hated New England Patriots after losing to the lucky Seattle Seahawks on opening day by 2 points, missed field goal. Drop touchdown pass, a block field goal. That game, Cleveland admitted, the Seahawks should have lost that game.
You know, on any given Sunday, Cam, anything can happen. And there was certainly opportunity for the Dolphins to win. As I had to console you as Kenny still dropped what looked like a sure big touchdown. Special teams, letting them drive down the field with seconds left. Russell Wilson with a bad ankle. You can't call it luck, but at the same time, the Dolphins had many chances to win. I will say that.
Okay. I see you're going to modestly hold on to that victory. Hold it tight, as I would too. So, last week, we had the Rams, as I predicted, beat the Seahawks again. It was 9-6, so we saw, what, 5 field goals that game.
9-3, I think we only managed one field goal, unfortunately.
Okay, well, even worse. Case Keenum, I think we've seen the last Case Keenum. He can't score a touchdown. It's been 8 quarters. Go on. Jared Goff, your number one draft pick, the guy you gave up all the draft picks for, he's on the bench. The first game, he's inactive. Second game, he suits but doesn't play. I think they got to get him in the game, especially when they have the other guy on the other side of the coast, Carson Wentz, come in the game, and he's looking like he's been a Brett Favre 2.0 here. I think Goff got to get in the game.
I think given the fan base trying to keep them engaged and interested in what's going on and giving them some sense that you're moving forward in the right direction, that, yeah, you should start him, but I think that Coach Fisher, for whatever reason, doesn't feel that he's ready to take the field, and he would know better than anyone. He's had other, young quarterbacks in, McNair and Vince Young, and he always brings those guys along slowly. Of course, neither one of those guys were number one picks in the draft, and I believe they at least were able to suit up for the first game. So it seems like he's on a mission to make sure he gets it right and that this guy is ready as soon as he hits the ground running. But I'm not quite sure that the L.A. fans are going to be patient enough to let his program, play out the way he wants it to. I think that they're going to call for Goff sooner than later. And as you said, Case has yet to throw a touchdown and doesn't look very good or comfortable out there. So at some point, they're going to have to just go for broke.
Yeah, and that time is now. They did get a win against the Seahawks last week, which should give them some keep the fans off his back for this week alone. When they go to Tampa Bay and they play Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and they put up 30 points on them and the Rams are kicking field goals, I think then it would be loud and clear that Goff needs to get in the game. And then I've been trying to defend Jeff Fisher for his tactics of holding out the quarterbacks and letting them see the game from the sideline and blah, blah, blah. But it's time to get a quarterback in there who can do something because they could put eight in a box and Case Keenum can't do anything. And that means the running game, Gurley can't get anything done. I got him on a couple fantasy teams, and we need to get some production from that kid.
I have my one as well, and, without Gurley, man, being able to run through some of those big holes like he typically has been in the past, it's a problem. It's a problem for fantasy owners out here. He needs to let this guy get a little bit of space, you know. Can't be quite so predictable and so obvious as you are when they know Case Keenum isn't going to throw the ball more than 5 yards down the field. So.
Yeah. And so I got a question to ask you. We know you're an Adrian Peterson fan. Superman goes down once again. But tell me what you think of Sam Bradford today.
I must admit I was extremely impressed with the way Sam Bradford looked out there in a Minnesota Vikings uniform. Running the North Turner offense, I would have thought that he would have had to struggle a little bit to kind of get his bearings, but he jumped right in there and had no problem finding Stephon Diggs over and over again, a little play action here and there. And, that dude was wide open. He was looking like a world beater out there. So, hats off to Sam Bradford. I did not think he was capable of such a performance, I'll be honest.
Well, you know why I asked you that. I told you I thought Sam Bradford would be an adequate quarterback for this team. It's highly unfortunate that Adrian Peterson went down and, torn meniscus. Looks like it's going to be a 3-month surgery for him, so his season is, for all intents and purposes, over. And still, Sam Bradford's not going to have a running back. He's been used to having that, but it's sad that he's coming into a situation where they need all hands on deck to help out the quarterback. Unfortunately, Peterson isn't going to be there to kind of guide him and take a lot of pressure off of Sam Bradford. However, that's the life of a number one quarterback where now it's up to you and it's going to be up to him. So don't know how bad that injury is going to impact them, but they're able to get the victory over a division challenging team. It's going to be Green Bay or the Vikings winning that division. I think I had the Vikings squeaking into the playoffs, but losing Teddy Bridgewater and Adrian Peterson, I mean, how can you expect them to really make the playoffs? Somebody's going to have an awesome season. And, I have to eat some crow, sadly to say. My guy, Andrew Luck, the best young quarterback in the league, gets beat up once again, and now they're 0-2. I'll let you enjoy commenting on that.
Well, all I'm going to say, Kelly Cam, is going forward, it's not going to get any easier. And with the way that defense looks, it's going to be a lot of pressure for him to put up a lot of points. They still don't really have much of a running game. Their receivers are getting a little banged up as well. But that defensive backfield for the Colts is just completely decimated. So any team that can throw the ball more than 10 yards down the field is going to have a heyday with those guys. And it's going to be all on Luck to try and bring them back in games. And he's going to do his usual hero ball routine and try and force passes and, put up big fantasy stats. But at the end of the day, I think that they're looking at a top five pick and hopefully Leonard Fournette falls to him. And they'll be right back at it.
a top five pick, and then you want to go to running back, huh? After you just stated their defense stinks. They probably need some defensive help over there. But you're not off on this one. Hopefully, Luck can lead this team to a few wins, and I don't think they're going to be playing for the number five pick, but maybe the number 10 to 15 pick they'll be playing for.
okay, man.
The Steelers keep on rolling. And then how serious is Russell Wilson's injury? You're off on Honeydew last week. He was on a Honeydew lessons or Honey Better Do excitement. So I wasn't able to ask you, but first of all, I really want to know how bad Russell Wilson's injury is, and did Ndamukong Suh ruin the playoff chances for the Seattle Seahawks? I want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, first off, the injury is fairly serious. It is a high ankle sprain. Typically, those take 3 to 4 weeks to heal and to come back from. He hasn't missed a game or practice since it happened, but at the same time, you can see that it's definitely hindering the offense. There were several plays in the game against the Rams in which, you know, typically healthy Russell Wilson would have scrambled for a first down, and we were seeing him get like maybe 3 or 4 yards in the slide. So it's definitely affecting his mobility, and which is, you know, a big part of his game. Question is, did Ndamukong Suh ruin the Seahawks' chances of making the playoffs? The answer to that question is no, with a caveat that fortunately for the Seahawks, the bye is in week 5 and not later in the season. So I think that if Russell can get through these next 2 games without a lot of wear and tear on that ankle, that 2-week period sooner than later with regards to the injury will definitely help him, and they'll be able to get on track going through the season. Now, if the bye week was week 9 or 10, I would say, okay, well, there's a little bit of a problem because the backup, Trayvon Boykin, is not really ready to play. And without Russell, I don't think that they win 2 games this season. So the injury is serious. No, the few intentional stepping on Russell Wilson's ankle is not going to ruin the Seahawks' chances of making the playoffs.
Wait, you call it intentional?
intentional stepping on the ankle.
Oh, my goodness. He is a quarterback. My guy chases down quarterbacks for a living. So if he was able to
steps on ankles for a living too.
If he was able to intentionally step on an ankle, we need to pay that kid more money. If he was able to get that accomplished.
Has he missed a game for stepping on an ankle? Has he missed a game for stepping on an ankle before?
Well, he's missed a game for stepping on body parts. Not necessarily
ankles. Okay. I'm checking.
So, again, we need to pay him more money. If he intentionally did that and was able to pull that off, like, in the middle of the field. We know how elusive Russell is. So, if he was able to pull that off with Russell Wilson trying to avoid him, he needs a couple more million in his pocketbook. I'm going to have to talk to the head coach and Ross about getting that done for you, and so appreciate the hard work there, fella. Mm-hmm. So last week we both had the Jets winning. We both had New England winning. I had the Rams beating the Seahawks, which they did again for the third time. Is this the third consecutive time? Oh no, excuse me. This is 2 consecutive times because the Hawks did win one last year. We both had Carolina winning. We both had Baltimore winning. For some reason, I think it might have been a typo, but you didn't pick your Titans to get a W over the Detroit Lions. What's up with that?
I didn't think they traveled well. I'll be honest with you. You know, and they'll call them my Titans. They're not my Titans. I think they can do some things here and there, but obviously it's still a work in progress. But you know, I didn't think they could go on the road and win. Like, hats off to them for hanging tight. Lions couldn't put them out. You know, couldn't you know, give them the killer blow when they have the opportunity, and they hung around and pulled out a victory.
Well, I know you're the New York Titans, as you chose them for some reason to beat the Minnesota Vikings in game one at home. I'm not sure what the logic was with that, but for some reason you chose the Titans over the Vikings, and I think it's somewhat of a hate issue there, but nonetheless, you did choose the Titans over the Vikings, so I won't let you forget that. We had the Texans over the Chiefs. We had the Giants over the Saints. We both had Washington beating the Cowboys, and the Cowboys was able to pull that game out there late in the game. So good job by them. We both had Arizona winning, both had Denver winning, and we both had Oakland beating the Falcons, who the Falcons turned things around and actually got that W. How surprised were you of that?
I was extremely surprised and disappointed with the way the Raiders went out. I mean, you know, week one, everybody calls them, you know, world beaters because they go for two and they get it. But this is the second week this defense that's supposed to be fairly stellar has given up, you know, more than 30 points. So that's clearly going to be an issue. I mean, you got your all-pro Khalil Mack, all-pro at two positions. You got Bruce Irvin over there. You got the young kid, Saleed Calhoun from Michigan State, and they can't cover anybody. They can't stop anybody from doing anything. So that's a little bit of a concern. I mean, Derek Carr is still doing what he's supposed to do. Amari Cooper, Latavius Murray on offense, they're solid, but that defense is suspect and kind of surprised me.
Well, they got to come together, and it's going to take a few weeks for them to come together and solidify themselves as a contender there. But we both had the Chargers over the Jaguars. For some reason, you had the Packers beating the Vikings at the new as the Vikings debut their new stadium. I had Minnesota. I didn't expect AP to go down, but yet he did, and Stephon Diggs, and we saw a new star emerge in the league, and they pressured. Their defense is solid, and they were pressuring the heck out of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, kind of surprisingly so, and they ended up getting that win on Sunday night. Were you impressed with the Vikings or not impressed with the Packers? How do you see that game?
Was impressed with the Vikings. For one, the way Sam Bradford, as I mentioned earlier, was able to step in and take care of business. But secondly, this Minnesota Vikings defense looks like one of the top five defenses in the league right now. Certainly that defensive line is a force to be reckoned with Anderson Griffin and a few of those other guys over there making some pretty big plays. So, yeah, I was impressed with that. And, you know, apparently the Vikings are your de facto team this year. Seeing as the Dolphins started 0-2 and they started out 2-0. Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. I'll just remind you of a couple teams that you seem to hate on pretty regularly, the Vikings being one of them. Somehow you fall in love with the Titans, so I'll keep you abreast of their schedule pretty regularly. And then we'll continue to talk about the Los Angeles Rams, the NFC champions of 2016.
Let's try with that.
And then the Eagles beat the Bears, which, you know, ended up turning out to be a pretty good game. I want to see what Carson Wentz can do on Monday night, and he looks like the second coming of Brett Favre out there.
Didn't think he could travel either. I thought the first game against Cleveland, okay, well, that was against Cleveland. I thought Chicago was at least closer to a professional football team than the Cleveland Browns looked to be. So I definitely thought that was a definite L for the Eagles, but Jay Cutler being Jay Cutler, you know, he'll turn the fantasy into a nightmare at any given time. I mean, with all those weapons, they were winning the game most of the time. So it's absolutely horrible with the way he's doing that franchise. And I think at some point you just have to say it was a mistake and we'll live with it for another 2 to 3 years to get better, but you just can't keep Jay Cutler out there.
Well, we saw that there was – when Hoyer got in the game, he started completing some passes, and I think that was evidence of the unity that Hoyer plays with versus the separation or isolation that Cutler plays with. So, all in all, came back to win this week, so now we're tied 1-1. You won the first week. I won this week. You still got me in the points against the spread, so I got some comeback to do, some work to do in that one. But leading the week is a good thing. Confidence picks. I had Miami winning. The L.A. Rams won. Pittsburgh won. Arizona won. Cardinals won. Carolina Panthers won, so that's 14 points. And you had Seahawks winning, which they lost, and Green Bay winning, which they lost, give you a total of 11 points. So that was the first
ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Well, again, you actually picked those teams.
Ridiculous.
I keep you informed of how you're doing. So this is actually games that you pick, and I didn't put any words in your mouth, so we'll just see how well you prognosticate the games. But right now you're behind, sir. You got some work to do. A couple of real quick questions. Can the Vikings make the playoffs without AP?
I think that their defense is strong enough. I think getting that early win over Green Bay would certainly be helpful. And the fact that they play Chicago and Detroit two times, they have a slim possibility of making the playoffs.
Well, it's going to be tough making it, but Bradford continues his performance that he had on Sunday night. I think they'll make it easily, but that's yet to be seen. Carson Wentz or Dak Prescott, who you want?
I prefer the more mobile quarterback. I think that Dak is probably in a slightly better situation given the offensive line and the running game as well as having a top-five receiver. So, from that perspective, I'd rather have Dak Prescott. However, Carson Wentz does not look a slouch in any shape, form, or fashion, and I'm sure the Browns wish they had him right now.
Carson Wentz's ball was very light. He looks like he has a big, strong arm. He doesn't know how to get down. He hasn't learned how to slide quite yet. And he'll learn soon enough, and he's a big, tough kid. So his 5 years in college is really paying off because he knows the game. He's been under center. He takes his snaps. He knows how to play the game. So Carson Wentz is looking like a really solid quarterback, as Dak is. Like you said, he's in a great situation. So I wouldn't move either one of them, but I think Dak will probably have a better season. So Carson Wentz will put up some solid numbers. Jimmy G had a shoulder injury, so the Dolphins can beat up on quarterbacks. They can't win a game, but they can sure beat up on quarterbacks. We send Jimmy G to the locker room for a shoulder injury. And what would you do with Jimmy G when he comes back, or when Brady comes back? Would you try to trade Jimmy, or would you hold on to him as your replacement to Tom Brady?
As the Patriots have shown in the past, they like getting more assets for quarterbacks that have proven themselves to be proficient as starters in the league. We saw this happen once before with Matt Castle, as you recall, went 11-5 in Brady's absence, and they immediately traded him to Kansas City for two number one. So I don't see this going any differently. I don't think that they think that the window for Tom Brady is closing sooner than later. I think they think that he still has 3 to 4 more years, and I think that they're going to be unwilling to pay what Garofalo is going to command. And I think that because he's won the games the way that he has, that his stock couldn't be any higher, and they're going to cash in when they get the opportunity at the end of the season in typical Patriot fashion.
Okay. I believe that. looking to next week's games, a few of the games we disagree on. I have Denver beating Cincinnati, and you want to give the fans a moment, a brief explanation of why you got Cincinnati beating the Broncos.
It's OTR. It's OTR, Cam. It's on the road. You got a new starting quarterback on the road. They don't have DeMarcus Ware coming with that pass rush. They still have Von Miller, and the defense is still very good, don't get me wrong. But I think going into Cincinnati is a little bit of a difficult task for the young man. I think that they'll have some growing pains here, but in the end, the Bengals are going to come out victorious.
Okay. We'll see how that works out. I think the Broncos and their defense will win the game, as you brought up a couple of key players. I have the Lions actually going to Green Bay and beating up on the Packers this week to even up their records. You have the Packers. I think the Lions, though they lost last week, I think the Lions are going to put up a lot of points, where the Packers have shown in a couple weeks that they're isn't quite where we thought they would be, and they're going to struggle to put up some points. So I got the Lions winning this game in a shootout, something like a 33-28, 29 type of game. The Jacksonville Jaguars, why are you picking the Jaguars over the Ravens?
Again, Cam, OTR. The Ravens are on the road. Their running game is not that substantial so far.
I like the pick because that's going to allow me to increase my lead. But just you know, come on, you know the Jaguars beat the Ravens, and
okay. That's fine.
And then you have the San Diego Chargers.
I'm just waiting for you to get to the pick. There it is. Woo!
You have the San Diego Chargers.
Philip Rivers against your boy Andrew Luck. This is gonna double sting. This is gonna be like getting the cut, then sticking the cut in a thing of salt water.
It's gonna double sting you.
Because first of all, your boy Luck is gonna lose, and then that's how he's gonna lose to Philip Rivers. Oh.
No, well, wrong, and you know, Andrew Luck. They're favored by 2.5 points, so it's a really even game because they are at home. The Colts will pull this game out in a shootout. Luck will get back on his rhythm. We'll get back in rhythm against the lowly Chargers, and yeah, that'll be a good game. And too bad it's not on Sunday night, so I guarantee you'll be watching that game. But you'll see the score. I'll remind you. Don't worry about that. And then I have the Falcons. So your on-the-road theory works for two teams. It doesn't work for the Chargers. That's what you're telling me?
Right. And the reason it doesn't work for the Chargers in the Chargers' deficit is because the Colts' secondary is decimated. They don't have any cornerbacks. You got a big strong quarterback like Philip Rivers. That's proving he can throw for 4,000 yards, 40 touchdowns at the same time. And then you got big receivers like, you know, Tyrell Williams running around out there. It's just going to be a field day. And then you got Melvin Gordon,
really.
who's kind of starting to establish himself a little bit these first two games. Again, against that poultry defense, man.
Well, Gordon's going to have to perform because, as we know, Woodhead is out, so it's all on Gordon's shoulders, and we'll see how that works out. The other game we disagree on is the Falcons and the Saints. I have Atlanta traveling to New Orleans to get that W versus New Orleans is 0-2. They're going to be 0-3. Real quick, what do you think?
Again, Cam, OTR, man. I think Breeze in the confines of the Superdome, is going to find a way to beat the Dirty Birds. I'm not a big Dirty Bird believer for whatever reason. I'm just not confident in Devontae Freeman and Julio Jones is always a – what's that?
You're not a fan of Matt Ryan, but your guy Dan Quinn has those guys doing something. Thanks for tuning in this week. Thanks for tuning in this week to the Cam and Klee Show. Cleveland, appreciate your assistance. Happy anniversary, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir. All right, bro. Holla back.
All right. Talk to you soon.